Attention sports fans, do you love winning? Of course you do. That's why you need to check out Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million members. It's super easy. Just pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections, sit back, and watch the winnings roll in. How about a guaranteed win every week in September? Yep. Just one, yes, one, Caleb Williams passing yard gets you a win each football weekend this month. That's 4 weeks of easy W's. But don't sleep on it. This deal vanishes when September ends. But wait, there's more. Worried about injuries ruining your lineup? Relax. Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy. If your player leaves the game in the first half and doesn't return, your lineup stays in play. No more stressing over those unexpected injuries. This weekend, I'm taking Derrick Henry for more than 70 rushing yards and Daniel Jones for less than 193 passing yards. Two picks I feel great about. The best part is you can win up to 100 times your money with just 4 correct picks. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today, use code TMOS, and get $50 instantly when you play just $5. That's right, $50 free. Just for giving it a shot. More winning, less stressing. Prize Picks is where the fun begins. With MyBookie, you're not just watching football, you're cashing in on the action. Risk-free bets, thousands in cash prizes, and epic rewards every single week. The best part is, you can bet on any game, anytime, anywhere, straight from your phone. Check out MyBookie.ag and use our code Mike O'Mara to get started. It's MyBookie's 10-year anniversary, and they're rolling out the red carpet for bettors. Bet big and bet confident with risk-free Thursdays. If your boosted bet doesn't hit, you'll get your money back. Weekly, no sweat, win-win bets all season long. For those of you who've been playing with MyBookie, they've got something for you too, a brand new loyalty rewards program. In MyBookie Plus, it's simple. The more you play, the more you earn. And as you progress through the tiers, unlock exclusive promotions, epic giveaways, and cash back in your account. Make your football season a winning season with MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, only with MyBookie. Remember, MyBookie.ag and promo code Mike O'Mara. No spaces, no apostrophe. MyBookie, light 'em up!
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Gang, and now if you'll all be quiet, we'll start the show.
TMOS Classic Friday Flashback.
Well, I feel like the show's half over after talking to China.
I feel like his life is half over.
Yeah.
Let us once again formally welcome our good friend, my classmate, my fellow American University alum, Tony Perkins.
Yay,
from
Tony.
Fox 5.
Thank you.
They didn't get you. We get you today. I am so glad to have you here. I've guested with you more than you've guested with me. Well, no, in the old radio days, you used to pop in a lot.
Because
you love doing radio shows.
I love doing this. I love hanging with you guys. It is great fun.
Is this your first time to the living room?
Yes, it is.
Wow, we haven't seen you in some years, then.
I've not been to the living room. Mike has never had me to his home. Well, there was a party once, and I worked it.
And a good job, too, Tony.
Thank you.
Now, let's do it, because we have to do it on Thursday. Bear with us before we get to panel and we talk about everything that we have.
Okay.
We have to get to a Thursday. Thursday is birthday day.
That's right.
And let's get right to it. Last Friday, listener for life, Tommy Pico, had a birthday, but his girlfriend sent a request late and left out all the particulars. But happy birthday, Tommy. Last year, Mike met listeners Jason and April Hill, known since as the Swingers from Buffalo.
Remember them?
Oh, she was a hottie.
Yeah. How about him?
April's birthday. I don't care. April's birthday was Friday, and she'd like to hear Oscar thank her for keeping it tight. He can't. He's no longer online.
He's gone. Yeah.
Sunday, Daryl Taylor turned 40, which means he has now spent half his life listening to us. Wow.
Yeah.
Makes me feel old. Zachary Ryan earned the nickname Zach the Douche on Tuesday. He turned 28, which means his douchiest days are still ahead of him.
That's right. Oh,
nice. We met Dale West of Reno. He turned 55 Tuesday. Dale partied late with Mike and Rob. His wife got a birthday song from Buzz, and he's pretty sure Oscar made his girlfriend's nipples move.
Yeah, that's what
really?
He said.
Oscar has this power.
Yeah. Also Tuesday, Stephanie Forge had a birthday, a listener long before the podcast. She would love a greeting from Jesse Ventura. Stephanie, it's a conspiracy.
You don't think it's really her birthday?
I don't think so. As a matter of fact, I don't think there's such a thing as a birthday.
It's just sort of something what the establishment says.
I think we're all hatched. Yesterday, Alex Ephraim turned 33, and he'd like Charlie to tell him the secret to living such a ripe old age.
Uh-huh. don't know.
Well, Charlie, you're old.
I'm very old.
How old are you?
73.
No, not yet.
72?
72.
When am I going to be 73?
December 13th of this year.
Oh, Rob.
Anyway. Twyla Rieger turned 7 yesterday. That's 7. That greeting's important to her uncle, longtime listener Spencer.
Right.
Have some of your own kids, Spencer.
All right. No, I've gotten mail from Spencer. Don't reproduce, Spencer.
Okay. Yeah. Today, Keenan McCree of Pittsburgh, California, turned 38. Loves the birthday segment and would like to hear from the fully turgid Jim Nance from the Masters.
Oh
my God. A delightful day at Augusta. The azalea line fairways give way to the blue skies of Augusta, Georgia, as the players remove their pants and frolic naked in the
Butler cabin?
In Butler cabin. And then the skinny dipping continues well into the evening as they dip into Ray's Creek, ignoring the leeches and enjoying a beautiful afternoon that is the majesty of Augusta.
At any point, Mr. Nance.
Yes, Rob. Hi.
Hi, Jim. Will you be receiving a branch anywhere from the Eisenhower Pine?
The Eisenhower Pine will be slowly and carefully inserted in all the right places. Thank you very much. I have to do more of that. I forgot.
Tomorrow I thought you would do it for the open.
Yes. Oh, that means there'll be some writing tonight.
That's right.
There'll be some drunken writing tonight. Let's see. Okay, we've got Michael White turned 39. He'd love a greeting from D.C.'s mayor for life, Marion Barry.
I just want to say my diabetes is under control. I got the sugars. And I'm doing my very best. Thank you very much, Michael White.
Tomorrow, Scotty Hulick turns 30 and would be mightily amused to hear anything from Garrison Keillor.
Very popular.
Oh, this is a popular one, Mike.
Dear Scotty Hulick and the Prairie Home Companion, Mrs. B's Biscuits saying Scotty Hulick turns 30. Garrison Keillor saying over and out.
All right. Jay Campbell of Madison, Wisconsin turns 39 tomorrow, and he'd like some wisdom from Smart Charlie. No. Daniel Tichy turns 40 Saturday. We're the only show that cares about yogurt makers.
This is true.
That's a dirty little thing we did early in the week. We'll explain it later, Tony. Okay. He'd be much obliged if Mike would talk up a record. Any record for Daniel Tichy turning 40.
You feel up to it?
Absolutely.
Okay, I chose your favorite, I do believe, Mike.
Oh, good.
WTNT. 15 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, we want to say hi to Daniel Tichy, who turned 40 on Saturday. Is it last Saturday or is it this Saturday? We're really not sure, but it doesn't matter. Smoke a joint, do a line of coke, have a beer, and have a great birthday party.
Baby.
Yeah. He's still got it.
Thank you, baby. Sunday, April Hicks turns 30, and she just isn't excited. Oh. Wow. Her husband wonders if a sexy greeting from Buzz would help April.
Well, sure. April, I just want you to know, my prostate is ready to serve.
What? What was that?
My prostate
is spreading to serve?
Is ready to serve.
Oh, ready to serve.
Ready to serve.
And how are you preparing this prostate? Like in a slow cooker?
That's gross.
Yogurt maker.
Last two. On Monday, Michael Connor turns 31. He's been listening since WAVA. Today, he's a programmer at Facebook and also expecting a baby. Well, I can relate to that.
Cool.
Michael Butler's been listening since before he was born, 21 years ago. He'd like a greeting from an old favorite, Ben, the WJFK engineer.
Sure.
Janitor, yes. Yeah. Ben, the WJFK janitor.
Hi, Michael.
That's it.
That was great.
Happy birthday, everybody.
That's the amount of effort that Ben used to do in keeping the building clean.
Look, I love having guests in the studio. I love Oscar from China. Yeah. I like doing the birthdays when we're not supposed to do them, but I'm ready for normalcy.
Yeah, okay, let's relax
then. Time for
a
nap.
We welcome you, and now we finally can just talk about you.
Oh, that's so nice.
Because you are an old pal of mine, and you have been in every quadrant of television broadcasting. You have been to the top of the mountain.
Yes.
On ABC's Good Morning America.
Yes.
And now I'm
at Channel 5.
And I'm in my living room. And it only gets worse. Hey, you're at a television station. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm sitting there where, you know, old people fart.
But Mike, you know, to make you feel better, I'm not even in my own living room. I have to come to yours.
That's rough.
So you, I think that
you're
chugging along and you were the weather guy. You were at Channel 5. You were a field reporter, kind of the human interest reporter.
Yes.
And then you moved to the weather desk.
I was I did weather and feature reporting.
Ah. Okay.
So I was, remember back in the day, there was Tom Sater, weather guy, and Holly Morris, the feature reporter. I was both of them.
Weather and features is like Lowell Meltzer.
This is true. Yeah, but Tony's successful.
Right,
that's
exactly
the difference.
I'm not.
And now you are officially an anchor person.
I've moved out of the world of weather to the anchor desk, which is great.
And you're enjoying your life over at Channel 5.
I love
5.
It very much. Yes.
That's a good thing.
Well, I mean, because I like you guys, I love the people I work with, and I'm being very honest.
It's a great crew there. Tucker,
well, and really it's a is. Fun medium.
How really long is, have you been at Channel 5?
Complicated question. I've been there 8 years now, but I was there for about 8 years before Good Morning America, so total 16 years.
And, you know, Tony is a graduate of American University back in the day when we used to play air guitars to the Rolling Stones.
I sure did.
Outside a little RV that we had set up because we did a muscular dystrophy radiothon.
You know what I remember most about that? I would be Mick Jagger.
Yes, and you loved Mick Jagger. You loved doing your Mick Jagger impression.
But we would have this little trailer set that. Up, and early in the day we would set up like milk crates to look like a drum set,
right,
and cover them with a blanket. Now people could see us doing this, but we would set it up
so it looked like drums that were really under there,
right, and wait a couple hours, and then we would start to get this rumor going that the Rolling Stones are going to be out here,
right.
It's milk crates under a blanket.
Under a blanket.
Right.
That's
and,
right.
Like the Rolling Stones are going to perform on the quad at AU.
And I remember that I was not in the band. I was kind of on the periphery of that. I would there were pictures of me that somebody took where I was interviewing kids watching the Rolling Stones.
Oh, is that so where that pathetic. Picture is from?
That's the little picture.
With the two horrified children?
Yes.
And you with all that hair.
Why there were small children on a college campus, I do not
I don't know.
I don't think it was any of the co-eds kids.
No, I don't think so.
As far as I knew. And I was sitting there, and then it was like Ron Kirsch and Jeff Gold.
Yeah.
And Shalom Rabbi Shmuley. No, I mean, it was like everybody else that was there.
Right.
And Tony and I were the only goys in the whole group.
Yeah, that's true.
And,
they could have called the band the Rolling Stones.
The Rolling Stones.
Oh, I've got a stone.
But it was the, and we all worked at the radio station on campus there at American University.
When you spun records and you had your beer party, didn't you do a, like something that where you would drink and also?
That, Tony will remember that because Tony probably didn't hang out. Tony didn't, you know, you didn't roar as much as I did because
nobody did.
It's the reason why you're more successful than I am because I plunged into alcoholism at a very young age. And so I was the club DJ at 61 WAMU night at the Tavern, which was on Tuesday nights. And I don't think I've ever said this in front of you. When I went through, I can still remember how I laid out my schedule. I wouldn't have a class until probably 6 o'clock on 6:30. We had 6:30 classes on Monday nights.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have my first class of the week until 6:30 on Monday night.
Now, did you
So ask- during the fall, it would be... where do I start the partying? Because it really
what
was
your
it
last
nonstop.
Class on Friday?
We would stop Thursday. Right?
Okay.
Monday was recovery day,
of course.
And we would be watching the football games on Sunday,
and
that would party. You know, we'd party all into the evening on that way. Then we'd have recovery day on Monday. Then I would have a class at 6:30. I would have maybe one class on Tuesday. Tuesday night was 61 WAMU night at the Tavern, which went very, very late.
That's convenient.
That's true.
And then I'd have a couple of classes on Wednesday. That's a terrible
rough.
Day. I hated
rough.
It.
Usually, yeah. Wednesday was like lab day.
Yeah,
or, yeah
very, very.
Studio.
It's just everybody's studying. Everybody's working on Wednesday. Very dull day on a college campus. Thursday is the beginning of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe an early morning class on Thursday, but doubtful. Because I'd be ramping up, and then we would have the pregame for just going out on the town. And Thursday night, we would go out. Uh-huh. Like, we'd go to Armand's Chicago-style pizzeria and drink beers. We'd go down to Alexandria and go to the fish market and drink their schooners of beer there. And that was Thursday night going out. Because Friday, you would normally have a toga party on Friday night that would be down in the regular community hall where we would all put togas on. And then Friday and Saturday nights would be in-house parties.
So every week, you would squeeze in one serious day of going to college.
It was more of a day of recovery than it was squeezing.
When you talked about laying out your
seriously, it's what my junior and senior year, that was kind of my schedule. That's what I would do.
When you talked about laying out your schedule, you were very precise about times of classes.
Yes.
Did the classes themselves matter? Did you know what classes they were, or was it just you needed something that was started at 6 o'clock on a Monday night?
You couldn't narrowcast it that well. You could do your schedule, but you couldn't do what classes you were going to take.
Okay,
they fall at a certain time.
Sure,
I know I had a United States history course on Monday nights, and it would just be I'd be sitting there, you know, in the like eighth row, just going.
I never partied was that it, much.
I know. Like, that's because you were preparing for your future. Yeah. Look what happened with you. Meanwhile, beautiful education, bachelor of arts degrees in broadcast journalism for both of us. You used yours. I was basically going out to spin records, at WOHN in Herndon.
When you had that Monday night class, was it a once a week class? So it was a lengthy class. Was there a break in the middle?
Yep.
You ever drink during the break?
Left during the break.
Oh, a lot of times.
More often than not.
But how did you graduate?
Listen, I barely did.
Skin of his teeth.
Do you remember the algebra competency requirement that we had at American University? Do you remember that?
I do not.
You probably didn't require it because you got great grades in algebra.
Because I don't remember doing that.
I transferred in.
So there.
You went to all 4 years, right?
Yes, I did. Four and a half.
I transferred. Really?
Yeah.
Four and a half?
Shall we call you Dr. Perkins?
No. I don't know what happened.
Neither does Mike.
No, it took me an extra half year.
Really?
Yeah.
I had to clean up some credits.
I transferred in from Marist College in Poughkeepsie, New York, where Bill O'Reilly got his degree.
You were roommates with Bill O'Reilly.
He was there much earlier.
Oh, I see.
Bunkmates, yeah. Really.
And he was just walking around the hallways going, "We'll do it live!" and so I went to American University, and they had an algebra competency requirement.
Right.
And I am so mathematically challenged, as you guys know from all these years of working with me, and we had to take an algebra competency test. If you hadn't achieved, I think it had to be a C+ or better in an algebra course. I got a C in my one remedial algebra course that I took at American University. So I had to take right up till 1981, to the spring semester of 81. I was still toiling every week. And we went in the last time I was going to take it before I'd have to go back and go to the next semester. And they made an announcement that if you had achieved a C- or better, that they would waive the algebra competency requirement. So I took the test anyway, and I passed it. And so the long and short of it was I graduated.
You're still using it. You said the long and short of it.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
some algebra terms.
X equals Y, Z.
Never got it.
Perfect.
Never understood.
D, whatever.
The good thing about it is after you pass that test, what a reason to celebrate. Maybe you could have a drink.
Well, there's a picture of me standing next to my father at graduation, and I was not well. We will take a break and come back with more with Tony Perkins from Fox 5. We'll be right back on the Mike O'Mara Show. Here comes the
sun. TMOS Classic.
There is a huge viral video that's making its way around the internet and also mainstream media right now. It's a video of a guy in a kayak who is fishing out of his kayak, which I've seen. A lot of people do that. And there's a shark that apparently goes after a tuna that he's got on the line.
He hooks a bluefin, I think.
And it breaches in back of him, and I think it's complete crap. And nobody has said it yet, but it seems to me it's just like when the baby was picked up by the hawk.
Right.
I think it's exactly the same thing. And these things get to mainstream media without being properly vetted, and I still think it's a fake.
But how do you get a shark to come out at a certain time unless it's one of Spielberg's mechanical sharks? What do you think he did?
This is all done by computers. This is what I think.
Yeah.
The guy is
editing.
He's sitting in a well. You know about TV, Tony. He's sitting in the kayak, he's got his little fishing line, and then you look, and perfectly framed over his right shoulder is the shark, face and all, coming out of the water. And I think it's crap. I think it's fake.
I agree with you. I think they're matching up maybe two different videos, and you can. I mean, people can do this in their homes,
exactly.
Very clean, very professional. I think it's a fake too.
And there isn't there a school in Canada specifically?
Well, the baby and the hawk video was actually a homework assignment for a
Canadian school.
I never knew. I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Where they say, we want you to see if you can generate a video that will go viral.
Right.
So this seems to be what people do now. And when it's a perfect video, now it's quick. You see the shark come out of the water. And the only way you see the full face of the shark is when it's freeze framed. But it seems to me like it might be
a hoax. Have to require an amazing amount of luck from every angle to make it be captured just that right. And was it shot with the camera like this, with the phone up and down, or lengthwise? Because
it looks like one of those, what are those cameras we had when we went to
GoPro.
It looks like it's a GoPro where he's got it,
The resolution is just grainy enough where maybe they could alter it around a little bit. I hadn't thought about that, but now that you presented it to me,
What are we supposed to believe anymore? I mean,
you can't believe anything.
Your eyes, you can't believe what you see. Next, you're going to say reality shows aren't real.
That's right.
Well, Buzz, I like that Buzz is so old school that his original question about this was, how do you get the shark to come up at that angle?
Yeah.
Not that it was trick photography.
Yeah, you were. Well,
I haven't seen the videos,
Tony. It was a union. Yeah.
You were. You were going back to Spielberg, like they're going to have some plastic shark. This is done with.
That's
computer.
How we did it back in the day, Mike.
Right. That's
when,
right.
When you do your fake videos,
that's right.
He would sneak into Universal Studios
and
the
puppets.
And
I
that
thought
big
your videos were real.
Store. Yeah.
So let's talk about the whole deal. I'm making no secret about the fact, and I know you have to be neutral in your role as an anchor man, so you don't have to comment on this, but the NRA has now informed Congress they will be evaluating and scoring the legislators based on this this upcoming legislation that may not even get up to the field. Yeah, and I just wanted to say F off to all of them.
You know what? Jerk store. That's exactly what it is.
And I'm not quitting. I'm not quitting. I was on Facebook this morning, and I knew what I was going to get, and it spilled over. When it spills over into the social networking, I know exactly what's going to happen to me, and I know that there's going to be an immediate response because people are so passionate. The link that I shared today, which was from a guy named Bob Miles, and he wrote, if your first reaction to shootings is to think Obama/liberals are going to try to take our guns, your priorities as a human being suck.
Yeah.
And all I did was just post that on my page.
You just shared it.
I just shared it with it. That's exactly what the dude faggle terminology is.
You shared it on your page.
I shared it, and immediately, without any hesitation, people went badass.
Yep.
And, you know, Mike, if you really knew what was going on, why is it the people? And I just, look, I understand it's going to provoke debate and people are going to talk about this type of thing. But, you know, there was a survey that we have become less civil. Is that what it is? Do you have that story?
Yes. A new survey shows that 78% of us, nearly 4 out of 5 of us, have noticed that our friends are getting ruder in their posts and responses on Facebook. 8 out of 10 of us.
Mark, you're pointing at Mark.
Are noticing more rudeness.
Such a jerk.
In posts and responses on Facebook. And in fact, 1 in 5 of us have actually defriended somebody in real life, dropped a real life friend because of something we saw online.
I've done it to family. I've done it to family based on political rants.
Really?
I'm all for people having their opinion, but when you come outwardly accusing other people of being stupid or disagreeing with you. And I'm talking about blood relatives. Mm-hmm. I don't want to read it on my page.
The problem with social media is people, when you look at it, it devolves, the level of discourse devolves very quickly.
Immediately.
Very quickly. Mm-hmm. There may be 2 lines of reasoned argument, and then it's the name calling and
Jane,
the insanity.
You ignorant slut, yes.
Right. How have you managed to stay off Facebook?
This has been a battle because we recently, at my job, the mandate was everybody get on Facebook. We need you out there.
Right.
You got to be doing
this. Yeah, every media outlet wants to do that.
I went to the boss and said, I'm not on Facebook as a choice. I'm not on it personally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be on it professionally.
Right.
I don't want to have that kind of discourse going on because it happens very quickly.
That's why you haven't answered my friend request.
Yesterday, Allison, lovely Allison, my co-anchor, she came to my desk. She said, look what was just posted.
My hand just slipped.
So sloppy.
What was that? Interference.
On her Facebook, someone had posted 2 pornographic photos.
Oh,
a gentleman
Tucker
should not be doing this. This is what I'd like to do to you.
Yeah.
You know, it was crazy.
Yeah, it's
scary. Really.
You don't want that.
Okay, I had a moment today, though. This is, I will call this my social networking happy ending.
Ah.
And not the happy ending that Oscar was talking about.
He really loves Facebook.
Yeah. Boy.
This is, I'm trying to find the guy. His name is Kevin. I won't give you his last name. But he was talking. He was one of these guys. What you get when you have the gun people that are making their arguments, they give you a lot of statistics about other things that can kill kids.
Sure.
Yeah. Yes. And this guy was doing swimming pools.
Oh, yeah.
So it got me a little peeved because I was getting so many of these from everybody where I just thought it was kind of nice to. When something like this happens, I'm a believer that you should reflect on the tragedy and show compassion for the people that have gone through the tragedy. That was really the reason I posted this. Mm-hmm. Yes, there was an Obama there. There was a liberal there. And that gets people all up in arms.
It seems to push buttons.
But the gun people also get kind of out of their minds about it. And so they will throw the statistics. And I was getting dozens. I got about 70 messages today, and about half of them, of course, as usually is the case, are from the people that are saying, don't take our guns, don't reach into our houses
Nobody's
and do that. And do we have to break?
We do. We got 20 seconds.
All right, when I come back, I'm going to share with you the social networking happy ending that really was a feel-good story. I think it'll touch your heart, everybody.
I can't wait.
We'll take a break. Come back on the Mike O'Barra Show. Thank you very much, everybody.
TMOS Classic. Help,
I need somebody. Help. You're playing Beatles music because Teddy Perkins is here.
Where do you hear the Tony Perkins-flavored audio vault today? Something special.
Not only is he playing Beatles music, he's playing the U.S. version of the Help album with the James Bond opening.
He's the greatest.
That's the connection these two have. The Beatles.
Why don't you two
get a
bathtub with tapioca pudding
That's right.
and just spend the afternoon in it?
Play you with know, our yellow submarines.
Tony, I'd love for you to get on Facebook because I could put pictures on your wall.
So this guy, Kevin, writes me after I posted that thing about if you react to the shootings by worrying about them taking your guns, then your priorities are messed up as a human being.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everybody starts hating on me about that, including this guy, Kevin, that says, you know, more kids are killed in pools than they are by handguns. And then, you know, why can't we just have a respectful discourse over this type of thing? And he wanted respect, and he was giving that to me, and I'd just gotten like 40 of
them. Is he trying to take away my pool?
So I wrote him this on my own thread.
Okay.
So I'm not only on social networking, but I dive in with both feet.
He does.
Sometimes to a fault.
Yeah, okay.
I write to Kevin. And Kevin Ford, when I mentioned their full names.
Oh, well, you...
And by the way, Kevin Ford... Oh, I gave his name.
You've crossed that line.
We'll edit that out.
And Kevin Ford, thanks so much for informing us that swimming pools are dangerous. I know that you want respect, so please take this as is intended.
Okay.
F off.
Wow.
That is so sweet.
And then, I think one of the reasons there's lack of civility is I'm eating my yogurt.
Of course.
Hold it, but you're speaking very literally.
No, I was having Greek yogurt, not yogurt making.
Oh, okay.
I was having Greek yogurt, and I write that, and then I go back to my breakfast, just casually.
Just easily.
By the way, F off. These are good blueberries.
And you know, as you're eating your Chobani, and did you mix it or did you not mix it?
Carla, I'm very spoiled when it comes to my... every morning, seriously, you know what she makes for me?
What?
She makes me a lovely Greek yogurt blueberry... dried cranberry and granola parfait.
Excellent.
Wow.
That's very healthy.
Wow.
That's a great breakfast.
Is that delightful?
It really is.
And followed by some eggs and light English muffins with some very lean Canadian bacon.
Would you like to hear what Carrie does for me every morning?
What does she do?
All right. So when you're eating your yogurt...
Is that the sound of Carrie making your breakfast?
Yeah, it's the Carrie of doing everything to better the marriage. When you're making your... And you do this discourse, you know that, you know, between your bites of yogurt, not only can you do this without ever even raising your ass out of the chair... You know he's going to see it, and you know it's going to get to him.
And I can block him after. I've done that, too.
Oh, I do that all the time.
Where you give the response, and then you block the person.
Oh, that's not good.
It's great. You should try it.
Thank you, Tony.
You know, it's not good. You know what I love? But I always like to do one last thing. Before I unfriend or block, I always write one thing. Usually, it's been nice. And then they're out of there. But what you know he's going to see it, but
you want to acknowledge the fact that you're getting rid of them. But I didn't do that with this guy.
You kept him around?
There were too many of them. The thread was so enthusiastic, and there were so many people that wanted to give their point of view that I didn't. I said, look, and these are, and most of the people really that were attacking today were not on my friends list. This guy had a pending friend response, and that counts to me. So I didn't.
And that allowed him to write on
block
your wall.
Him.
Yeah.
I didn't. No, but I mean, I got even non-friends were writing on my wall about this.
You know, I think you probably have your privacy settings, so friends of friends can post on your
wall. That's exactly what happened.
Okay.
So I wrote the F off, and I wish I could go back to what he had written earlier, but it gets all jumbled up when you're trying to get a timeline on this stuff.
But when you're talking about civility, you know that if this was real life and this was a real conversation or anything where you actually heard a voice or saw a face, there's no way you would do that.
But here's a guy that I give tremendous credit to. Because at this point, he sends me a personal message.
Oh, okay.
And normally when I saw it, I'm like, here we go.
Yeah. Right.
Because that's normally the 11 pages of, and another thing.
Right.
Let me tell you why I think you don't have any testicles. You know, that type of thing.
Mike runs to the deadbolt.
He writes me, hey, Mike, sorry I stirred S up. I'm a longtime fan since I was a kid in middle school and I found the radio. I've been listening to the podcast from the beginning. You can tell me to F off for putting my agenda on your page, but I thought it was sort of an invite for a debate when others began voicing opinions. Right. Which he's right about.
Yes. Okay. Fair
point. It is. Fair I mean, point. If everybody's giving their opinions, sorry, I missed your intentions. I'll F off now.
That's nice.
Isn't that great?
So I wrote him back. I wrote him back. Thanks for the personal message. I just friended you. You were the recipient of my anger over the entire thread. No worries. Most of the folks on the thread had not done a friend request. You had. All is well. On today's show, we'll discuss civility on social networks. You should listen. I'll discuss this exchange, which I'm doing.
Very You're nice. A very complicated very nice.
Thank
man.
You, why am I now? Because you are.
Complex. Because if you went from you, F you off are, to honoring a friend request.
But you are slash and burn. You don't. Yeah. I mean, no. Somebody will talk about a flavor of ice cream they don't like, and you will unfriend them.
I will. Because I know what? That's valuable real estate.
But
man.
Don't you think in a way that that's not fair?
It's fair to me.
That's not a but very no, nice way to look at it.
Here's the
it's
way
kind
you,
of a window into Rob's soul.
What you should look at your side. Facebook
fair
page.
To me.
Your Facebook page, Mike.
Yes.
Your actual wall is like a party you're throwing. Okay, and whether or not you're going to be attending yeah,
hold on.
And handing
start
out.
Start this again. You give yourself some musical accompaniment.
You want
for
some
this.
Music for this?
Rob Spiewak on the face.
I love the opening line.
No one, Tony, no one loves it more than he does.
Oh, it's my favorite.
And normally, nobody gets more ego gratification out of it than Rob Spiewak. Uh-huh. This is Rob's world. Facebook is Rob's
yeah, it is.
World.
This
universe.
Is what I do. I finally found a way to interact without leaving the inn of doors.
And without really having to deal with people.
Right, right. And always on my terms, right. Tony.
Are
right.
you selecting a special musical accompaniment for yourself right now?
I am, Mike.
Okay, go ahead.
Your Facebook wall is like a party.
Mm-hmm.
You throw this party on a daily basis. Doors are open. You've invited, in your case, 5,000 people. They can come to the party. They can leave the party.
I have to interrupt you and say that I use my Facebook page uh-huh. as a promotional vehicle for the show.
I never
and,
have.
And my own opinions yes. primarily.
Right. I never
thank
have used
you for doing that, Mike.
Never
thank
have
you very
that.
Much, Mark.
Because the Facebook wall, Mike, your wall is like a party.
Mm-hmm.
And you've invited 5,000 people. And sometimes these people will come. Sometimes they'll bring their own friends.
Right.
But this is your party. You mm-hmm. set the table. You set the tone. You have the ability to delete.
Let me stop you right there.
All right.
If you were having a big party, though.
Right.
You wouldn't just, if someone was perhaps eating a snack that you didn't particularly care for when they walked in the door, you wouldn't just willy-nilly throw them out of your house.
Depends on the snack. What if
no,
it's something?
It does.
It does.
What if it's you're a lying. You're no, lying. You wouldn't do that.
What if it's. They're eating a Heath bar. I don't particularly like Heath bars.
So
I'd
would,
let them stay. But if they're eating a handful of dog crap,
well,
I'd ask them to leave.
Well, come on.
But you, on your real Facebook page, you will unfriend people for nothing.
Well, let's say we're at this party.
What is the cruelest?
Yes. Let's say we're at this party.
All right.
And you or I, Mike, are drinking.
Yes.
Have you ever done anything unreasonable when you've been drinking? I have.
Well, I'll answer you like I would a lawyer in a deposition. No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, I have. And sometimes if someone comes out and says something hateful about something I love, they insult my jukebox, and I've had a few glasses, mm-hmm. they're out of there. Because I don't want to hear that.
Wow,
this is my party.
But you're using an egregious example. I want one of the softer examples. You have said that you will unfriend
somebody. I've unfriended
people. Somebody, for example, somebody will write a post that says... Zippy and I went down to the local farmer's market. I've never seen the squash look better. And you'll go, unfriend him. I don't like that anymore.
I will. But you know what? I really have unfriended people over Wegmans.
What now? What? Explain
Wegmans. Wegmans.
Yeah.
People get passionate
what is
about
wrong
Wegmans.
With you?
I hate Wegmans.
Do you really?
I do.
Very, it's a phobia. It's a groundless fear.
It's no fear.
Groundless hatred.
It's ridiculous. It's a wonderful grocery store, and you're completely irrational.
You know
about
what? This is
disliking.
The same reason you like the renamed pork. Because the whole industry is taking you for a ride, and you're going to close your eyes and enjoy it and pay $5 more a pound for a New York chop when it's the same thing.
Yeah. Independent surveys show that Wegmans is cheaper than Safeway and Giant.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is, it can be cheaper because of the way they play you by setting up the store geographically to make you walk through their olive bar
well,
and their hot
you
foods
don't
and
have
the comedy
to buy
club.
From the olive bar.
But you have to walk through it.
This is the anger that I would love to be able to harness on the show.
The energy.
And I'd love you to use it in a different way, but you're directing this incredible venom towards simple grocery store visitors.
Something harmless.
Try getting out of the parking lot of Wegmans. Oh, it's easy to get in, but it's impossible to get out. And you have to walk 3/4 of a mile to get a gallon of milk.
There it is.
Because
that might be the issue.
Yeah, it's the walking.
Too much exercise.
Carrie, is there any way you could drop me out of the front door?
Well, we're not all blessed with boundless energy like Mike O'Mara.
Can you drop me out? Please, Carrie.
This is like a therapy session.
Welcome to the show.
There are 11 spaces between me and the door.
It's amazing, Mike.
It's 80 degrees. It's not my favorite Washington, D.C. temperature of 45 that I like so much.
You hear, but you don't listen. You're not hearing. You're not hearing what I'm telling you. Right. You're forced to go through everything.
We were talking
to get
about
to what
social media.
That's right.
He's right. My giant. I'm so ticked off. Can I say pissed off?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah. Pissed off. My giant, they keep changing it around. Uh-huh. The bread in my giant, I have to walk past everything else. The bread should be right there near the front door.
Exactly.
And
but they make
that's
you.
What most people that's come
they
in
get,
for.
They yeah. make you get something. You know, even that. Costco. Right. Love Costco. My favorite business in the world to get to the things you need. Toilet paper, paper
right.
towels,
all
and
the way
Coke. Back corner.
Yeah.
And it's
they
all
know what they're doing.
Sugary, syrupy Coke.
I'm just saying that.
So you don't mind walking to the back at Costco, but you hate it at Wegmans.
Yeah. I'm going to open my mouth up wider so you can put more words in it. No. What I said is,
okay,
even though Costco.
Diet Coke.
We've been through this, Mike. You know that I mostly drink water and booze. That's it. A couple sodas a week.
His cheeks are getting red.
But what I said is, even Costco does it because it's smart business. But Wegmans has taken it to the next level
yeah.
by making it that big. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And also, what I don't dig
would
is
it be
people...
accurate? Would it be accurate to say that Wegmans is probably not one of your favorites due to the inconvenience of accessing the processed foods?
That's not fair.
I'm just having fun.
What about
I'm having fun over here.
But you see, you're not having fun about the right things. You're being sucked in. You have been sucked in. And you know what? There's for every person that's right thinking like me, there's 10 people walking the street saying, I love Wegmans. It's wonderful. Well, of course you love it because they fooled you into thinking you love it.
You're a frugal man.
I am.
You like price.
I do.
You like to get a good bargain.
I will pay more than Wegmans prices. Because I don't want to have to go there.
He's going to unfriend.
What about
us,
the?
You know?
What about? Isn't Wegmans the one with the nice outlay of food, and you can go get your lunch there? And
sure,
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
It's yeah. fantastic.
Great
I like
lunches.
That.
Mike yeah. has never cared one lick about it until he found out I hated it.
No, it's not true. I just,
ever eaten lunch there?
I've yes, I have.
Have
I
you?
Have
what
too.
Did you have?
I had actually seafood.
And what kind?
I think I had oysters, and I think I had chowder.
And then we had to miss the show the next day.
No, that's terribly unfair. You're absolutely right about the crowds.
Yes.
And you have been to Wegmans when there's been a grand opening, and you know that first month or so is an absolute bat-ass to
right,
go to one of these
right.
places.
Yes.
But I will also tell you that when I went in and got just an amazing price on the groceries, that guy said,
right.
I thought this was a high-dollar place.
Right.
That, you know, I thought it was going to be like whole paycheck, the other joint.
But
know?
When you go in and you're actually, you make the long trek into the grocery section of Wegmans, you ever notice how the aisles are set up? They're not parallel and even like in a normal grocery store.
Now, I'm going to agree with you. It is not an easy store to negotiate.
Because they want you to stay longer and spend more money. That's why they send they have bananas, 19 cents a pound. They should be giving away bananas because the bananas don't matter to them. What they want you to do is walk the aisles for miles and buy your fancy dried sugared cranberries or whatever the hell it is they sell that is so great.
Hey.
And you're
going to
get sucked in.
Do what? They put them at the back?
No, produce is up front.
Front.
Produce is up front.
I thought maybe the 19-cent bananas were
No,
there.
No. Bananas are a loss leader, Tony.
That's right.
They bring you in.
Yes.
You're going to lose money on bananas because they're going to screw you with the olives.
This was a discussion that we were going to have about social networking.
But you brought it to this.
Well, because you unfriend somebody if they like a grocery
Wegmans,
store,
yeah.
you incredible hump.
No, you see... If yeah. you were at a party
yes.
and someone does something
we're
you don't like.
We're going back to your original premise
right.
here.
All right, someone does something you don't like, won't you ask them to leave? If it's something
it's
so
be.
Egregious that it's ruining your time at your
Do
party.
Do you know Wegmans was voted Fortune 500, the Fortune magazine's 100 best companies to work for?
Well, did you know that George W. Bush was elected twice?
Can I say about the whole party premise?
So here's to voting.
He makes a good point.
If I'm having a party and
right.
someone is walking in eating a snack, that is not cool.
See,
that is not cool.
So you unfriend them.
I'm going to have snacks.
And that's when Tony would walk up and go, I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
Here's your banana. and go.
Unacceptable.
Well,
it's not the best analogy, but I know this. Wegmans is not the best grocery store either.
My feeling is...
Got a wonderful giant in Leesburg.
In order for me to block somebody or unfriend them, they either have to say something very personal and rude to me, or
right.
they have to just be so completely opposed to my point of view that I just am pissed off at them and I don't want to interact
with them
anymore.
All right, let me ask you this. What about
I unfriend people.
What about someone who on Facebook you realize
And if you mention the fam, I go beyond that. I block you.
That's understandable. Of course.
Don't mention my wife or my kids. Right. That'll piss me off.
What if you run into someone on Facebook that is so non-participatory that... If you like wish them a happy birthday, you look on their wall, and the last thing that happened on their wall was you wishing them happy birthday. They literally haven't done anything in a year. I defriend them because there's people on Facebook that want to interact,
that's
so I clear out stuff that way as
well.
That's
okay. Just not because of where they shop.
Well, no, especially because where they shop.
I'll give you a classic example. I just randomly went to the news feed right now on Facebook, okay?
I'm going
to
unfriend somebody.
This is the kind you hate. 2 inches 2 inches of rain in the next hour. Welcome back to spring, Louisiana.
Yes, I hate
you
that.
See,
that's
you
the kind of crap that...
That's why I'm not on it.
Right.
I don't care. Hey, I'm eating an orange in my car. Good for you. Who cares?
It's true.
But for us, we have used a little primer for you on new media that we do here. Mm-hmm. That has really been... It's gone hand in hand with the promotion of this show, and we usually get our biggest spikes in participation when we mount some sort of... Whether it be a paid campaign or whether it be a listener campaign on Facebook, that's the way we communicate.
When
with
CBS
people.
Went out of business, they stopped broadcasting. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah, I did hear that.
When they went out of business, we sort of kept in contact with our audience through Facebook, and they were there for us when we started up this podcast.
Without Facebook, we wouldn't have been able to launch this podcast.
I absolutely get that. But that's useful. There's some use there. Mm-hmm. Here's what I don't like about the whole social media
thing. Kathy Pfeiffer just wrote, "Don't miss Carrot Top, 2 shows tonight at Wegmans Comedy Club."
That's good.
Kathy's a very good friend of the show.
I met Kathy. She's wonderful.
Huge friend of the show.
You sat with Kathy at the State Theater.
I sat with her. She's a lovely young lady.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. That's my way of saying thank you.
She knows.
Sorry about that.
What was my point going to be? Social media. Oh, yeah. Here's what social media has done. And the Facebooks, the tweeting, the Instagram.
Here's what I'm doing.
Everyone thinks they're a little celebrity. And then everyone wants to know everything they're doing.
And we don't care.
Here's a picture of me at a party with my girlfriend, Cindy. Oh, look at us.
Yeah, that's true.
Here's what I think about what I just read in the paper or the Kardashians.
By giving everyone an outlet, it allows them to have the platform to foster that thought that they're important, but they're not.
Not nearly enough, but there are a few posts where somebody has an original idea or a clever idea or something interesting, and it's a nice place to exchange those. Unfortunately, you have to wade through a lot of that stuff to get there.
And don't take pictures of food. I don't like that.
Yeah,
no one wants to see why. This is what I'm eating.
Yeah, I don't like
it. You know what? And occasionally there are moments of brilliance.
Yes,
like this one. This is the same.
Good.
I'm the same.
I hope you don't embarrass me, Mike.
12 minutes ago. Uh-huh. Just heard my first North Pond loon yodel of the season, but it was in the newsroom as our crew tested a live shot. It's a TV boy. I thought I'd share that with you.
That's amazing.
I would unfriend him for that.
Yeah,
you would.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.